Warning, the following podcast has major F-bombs dropped throughout. If that's a problem, maybe skip this one. But if you like counting F-bombs, we have the contest for you. We're giving away a complete skateboard, the Keith Meek OG Slasher reissue from Santa Cruz, Indie Trucks, OJ Wheels, Bronson Bearings, the whole kit, Mob Grip, a complete skateboard. We're giving it away to the first person that can count all the F-bombs that Keith Meek drops throughout the entire episode. Email them to talkinschmidt@gmail.com. First person with the number wins.
Winner.com. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. I don't think so. Winner, winner, Sheen dinner.
Welcome back to Talking Schmidt. This is Schmitty, and today we have part two of the Keith Meek interview. Before we start, though, I got something in the mail that I haven't opened yet, and it comes from last week's guest, Hansi Driscoll.
Dude, yes. This is the moment.
Oh, yeah. Gold Country Skateboards to Greg. Thank you, Hansi Driscoll. Fucking stoked. Thanks, Hansi. Appreciate this. What else we got in here? Oh, and a black version. This one's going on the wall. And Love and Chance Gold Country Skateboards DVD. First two guys to email, talkinschmidt@gmail.com, saying, I love Hansi skating and I want to check out that DVD. I'll send one and I'm going to keep one for myself. Let's get this sticker up, though. Put it right next to the Blood Wizard. Thanks again, Hansi. Appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you. I'd love to be part of the Old Dogs, Old Tricks curb skating video.
Hey, also, big shout out to Alyssa Steamer, who finally got her Thrasher cover that she's never had. Her first time on the cover of Thrasher. Damn. Gnar Hunter right there. Represent. And good job, Alyssa. Stoked to see what you got coming out in this Death Wish video next week, too.
Provoking the stoke.
Hey, it's kind of interesting. After part one dropped, a lot of people were stoked, but a lot of people were writing in saying, damn, Keith dropped a lot of F-bombs. And I'm like, who fucking cares, man? What the fuck?
I use that bad word.
Anyhow, instead of going back and deleting them and worrying about part two and how many F-bombs are dropped in that one, which might be double, Keith and I decided, hey, let's just give away some shit for the first person who counts how many F-bombs were dropped. I'm guaranteeing you that this episode has the most F-bombs in the history of Talkin' Schmidt.
Hey, what do you know? Bing, 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 bing.
So do us a favor. Count them. Send in the number. And the first person with the number of F-bombs dropped by Keith in this episode wins a complete skateboard, Keith Meek reissue, Indie Trucks, and Bronson Bearings, OJ Wheels, Mob Grip, and some Meekster Brow gear, hat, couple shirts, some stickers, etc. I'll throw in some Talkin' Schmidt air fresheners as well. It's all I got left right now. That's talkinschmidt@gmail.com. How many F-bombs did the Meekster drop? And don't be so fucking sensitive out there.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Nevertheless, here's the fucking guy himself with part two of a special interview. Keith Meek. You want some more?
Gimme, gimme, gimme. I need some more. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Don't ask what for. What don't?
Hey, this is Keith Meek, and you're listening to fucking Talkin' Schmidt. So start fucking counting.
Hey,
Talkin' Schmidt.
I'm already not watching.
It's cool, like tonight is the night.
Damn, this is like the coolest thing I'm ever gonna do.
I wouldn't say it was fun.
What do you mean? Well, Christian Fletcher's younger brother.
Fuck the Dodgers.
All big dogs in. What do you think, Dolan?
We on? Schmitty?
Talkin' Schmidt.
Alpha Macaroni.
Most of these guys, their opinion don't matter.
Talkin' Schmidt, right?
It's skateboarding.
If I remember that.
Talkin' Schmidt.
What are Yuns doing?
Holy shit.
Skateboarding homies.
No, Schmidt, you can't jump in.
What is happening?
I'm here for Greg Smith. Yeah!
Gregory!
Yes, we are.
Wi-Fi check one, Wi-Fi check two.
So we were talking about Bombora a lot, and I don't think we really mentioned too much about the Los Altos pool that also happened to be pretty important spot back in that era. Talk to me about like what was going on, who the locals were, what the sessions were like.
So yeah, the pipe and the pool kind of went hand in hand. Like you would go to the pool and there'd be a fucking session, and then you'd leave the pool, go to the pipe, and then those dudes that were at the pool would be showing up at the pipe. And then you go back to the pool. Like me and my friend, like my best friend in like my senior year, I met him my senior year. No, wait, no, the end of my freshman year we met, and his name was Chris Moore, and we skated everything together. Like I found a pool that was like across the street from our high school. Like this chick that was in my math class is all, you skate pools? I know our pools. I'm all, what? Like, and we went and checked it. We went and we skated it, and then fucking Howard Kvecht walked in, and he was vibing us because it was his pool. Like, I drained it, and he's like looking at us like, how the fuck did you guys find out about this? Did someone by the initials of MF tell you? And I'm sitting in the pool going, no, man, DD, Debbie Domenico. Like, just all, we're like, oh, fuck, are we in trouble? And he was talking about Mike Fox.
And now, another first impression with Mike Fox.
I first met Keith at a ramp somebody had built in our neighborhood. This is like before half pipes and quarter pipes and stuff, just, you know, the block ramp. And he was with a little group of kids that were skating it who sort of hadn't figured out how to pump through the transitions yet. So we were showing them that. And the thing that really stood out about him to me at that time was he already had just a really great style. Which, you know, if you've ever seen him skate, you know that he's right up there with Weaver, Alva, Adams, all those guys. Keith was also an early skate rock guy. I mean, he was the very first singer in what would later become Los Olvidados, the Engines, Ancestors, Gods of Sound, that whole group of guys.
Mike Fox told you, and Mike didn't tell us, but then that's how I got tight with Mike Fox and Howard and all those guys. Me and Chris randomly found this pool that was theirs. And so we just skated with those dudes every day and got tight. And so me and Chris heard about this pool in Los Altos. And someone just said, yeah, there's a killer pool in Los Altos. It's at the end of Edith. And we're like, okay. And that's all we had to go on. So we got on the fucking bus from South San Jose to Los Altos, like a 2-hour bus ride. And we ring the bell at Edith and we're just all, which end should we go to, you know? And so we went to the end, luckily the right end. And then like, so we go through the last intersection before you go to the end of Edith. And there's a bunch of skaters, like a group of like 4 skaters at the stop sign. And we're all, we'll ask these dudes. And we're all, hey man, what's up? Like, we're trying to find the pool, dude. Where's the pool? And they're all, yeah, you go to the end of Edith and you make a right. And then you look for a trail. We're all pretty vague, but okay. And the dudes we were talking to was Scott Foss. So that's how I met Scott Foss, like summer of 77. And so like we went to the pool, we made a right, and we saw this little trail, and we're just like, all right, this might be it. And we start walking up this trail to all bushes, and then the bushes open up, and there's a fucking pool and a full-blown session going on. We're like the Holy Grail, you know, clouds party. You're all, and then everyone, when you come up the trail, everyone turns and looks at you. So you're just like, fuck. You just kind of scurry over to the fucking side. And, you know, but there's like, fuck, 20 dudes there sessioning. Like it was a spot.
Yeah.
So we would take
what shape was it?
It was a kidney.
It was a kidney.
Left-hand kidney. It was a really good pool.
Good tranny, pool, right?
Yeah, good tranny. And like the light was pulled out and there's like a plywood perfect circle fitted in there. Like dudes have been skating it for at least a year before we got there.
Is there any like iconic photos from it that stand out that you remember?
Yeah, dude, I think
there's probably tons, right?
Yeah, for sure, dude. There's a photo of like Waldo Autry there. Randall Buck got in Skateboarder magazine there. I think like Mike Goldman got a shot there. And then,
because there was tunnel guys coming down, like Rod Saunders and those dudes were skating it. Mm. It was a really good pool. And I was like, we cut our teeth kind of like this, that swamp pool I just told you about where me and Chris first skated with Mike Fox and stuff. That's kind of where we really progressed and learned. And then we went to Los Altos and we learned there also. So we were going back and forth because the swamp pool is right by our house. This is like the beginning of this whole thing. So this is kind of like where all the best of NorCal would gather and skate this pipe and pool, like the scene. And that's where I met a lot of my lifelong friends. Dude, I met Joe Fong there, Steve Weston, Ron Issa, like Monty Vallier,
Kevin
Campbell. Steve Weston was the older dude. Like, he was older than Blackheart and KT and everyone. He was like the first dude that actually, out of that crew, that talked to me.
Oh, shit.
Weston was like, he did a lot for me, like, over the next few years. Like, he was like my surrogate father or something. He'd give me money and fucking feed me and like,
nice.
Yeah, spot me with a quad so I could play pinball or something. He was fucking awesome. He had a lot to do with that whole crew. You know, it was like Kiwi and Robert Schlafly, the Buck brothers, KT, Blackheart, Weston, Tim Lochfeld, and then Mopo was in the mix.
Shout out.
So yeah. I think there are some photos. I think Mopo took, I'm not sure. There's a sick photo of Blackheart going over the stairs. Like, there's some shit going down at that pool. It was rad. But so me and my friend Chris, we were taking the bus 2 hours there and back, like, to skate every day. And then we fucking found out his mom worked right on Edith.
How the hell do you know?
So then we were, like, stoked. We're like, we get up in the morning, make a little a brown bag lunch, and then commute with her to work. We could skate to the pool from her work. And so we'd be there. We just had to be meet her at 5. So we'd be there all day, dude. We'd like have our little lunch and we'd pull in and skate the pool, then go to the pipe, then come back to the pool. As long as we were back at the business by 5, we were good, right? But like, you'd walk into the pool, dude, and it'd be like the whole shallow end would be lined up and someone would be rolling a joint, dude, and they just passed the joint. Like, I was tiny too, and it was like no one cared. It was a rad scene. The pool got fucking demoed. I was there. The fucking owner came like late in the summer and started throwing oil and rocks in the pool and shit. And that was kind of the last time you saw a lot of those dudes. Steve Weston ended up managing the Modesto skate park. So we were going out there to skate that. We're all, no way, it's fucking Weston. And we're all, can we skate through? And he'd be like, yeah, pick up the trash over here and you guys, I'll let you skate. So we'd be over there picking up trash and shit and they'd let us skate, you know. But when Winchester opened, all these dudes came out of the woods that were from Los Altos. It was like a reunion. No way, dude, I remember you from Los Altos. Like, so it was a really cool scene. And that's where, like, dude, the best of the best would gather there. So you got to see the real NorCal foundation, the core of, like, what was going on in the Bay Area.
And that's where, like, little Stevie appears.
No, dude, Stevie, born and raised in the skate park.
At Winchester, right?
Yeah, but that was after Los Altos Pool.
Oh. So
Winchester wasn't open yet.
Oh, okay.
So like a year later or so, Stevie showed up. Where we go into a little glue man story, you know? But that needed to be said because that was a really important part of the NorCal scene. And those guys, like all those guys I just mentioned, were already seasoned and ripping, dude. They were doing the shit you saw on the mags in the pool. And it was another thing, like, you'd show up and you'd be like, dude, you just missed Blackheart. One of those again. Like, and that happened to me at the pool, like, at least 2 or 3 times. I'm all, fuck, man, when am I going to see this dude, right?
And then, yeah,
like we talked about, I saw him at the pipe finally.
Was Kiwi and Weston, were they from the San Jose area?
They're from like Palo Alto, Midtown. Huh. That was there. I think all those dudes were up from there, like Lockfelt and
okay,
and Weston and the Buck brothers. They're from up in those neck of the woods.
Like mm-hmm.
Those Palo Alto-ish area.
You mentioned Blackheart. Being kind of the elusive creature that was like the guy they kept saying like, oh, and you hadn't seen him.
Right.
It made me think about like, did you ever hear the story about him getting 86 from the skate park? Like all of a sudden he's got, like they wouldn't let him skate there.
Actually, fucking, I was right there. And there's a lot of stories circulating around, like, he threw a football through the window and got 86. I was there, the window of the pro shop. I was there when that happened too. And the window never broke, but it flexed like fucking, it should have broke. It was like, whoa, I was standing right by the window, but he fucking hooked his football and it almost broke. But I think at that point, he might have already been 86 because he was allowed to fucking hang in the parking lot, but he couldn't even come into the pro shop. Just, and so he'd hang out there, dude, and everyone would go out there and hang with Blackheart and then go back in and skate and shit. And he'd open up his trunk, dude, and it was like a fucking skate shop.
Oh.
Super organized, like in little boxes, wheels and shit. What do you need, kid? Fucking, you know, it's pretty classic shit. But it was a super hot day and we were skating the keyhole and it was just me and Blackheart. And it was like one of those days where it was so hot, like the park's pretty empty. So I took a run and then I fucking kind of slid down the wall and fucking just laid in the shade against one of the walls and the plaster's all cool. And I took all my pads off and I was just laying there. And Blackheart drops in and starts skating around me, you know, fucking. And then he fucking kind of comes down and does the same thing. We're just laying in the shade, like going, fuck, it's so hot, blah, blah, blah. And I got up, took a run without my pads. And I was just cruising like halfway up. Like, I don't want to be seen because fucking Wolfman was gnarly.
Yeah.
He's all, good idea. And he starts skating with no pads on, but he's like grinding and shit. And I'm just like, fuck, he's kind of blowing it. I look over in the corner of my eye, I see something, and I see fucking Wolfman. I'm like, he's standing fucking right there. And he's just like, that's it, Blackheart. You're fucking 86 for life. You're out of here. And I'm just like, oh, fuck. Like, and he looks at me with no pads on sitting down there. And I'm like, I'm out too. And he just kind of fucking looked at me and vibed me and reprimanded Blackheart. Like, come on, let's go. And then that was it, dude. Blackheart never fucking skated Winchester again.
Wow. Damn. Yeah,
it was fucked up. It was like, it wasn't worthy of fucking getting the boot for life. Maybe a week or, you know, give him shit, but.
I've never even heard of that. Like getting kicked out, you know, for the day or something, but like for life.
Dude, they had a beef though. And I think the beef goes way back before Winchester because Wolfman actually used to skate. I skated this pool, the Piss Bowl, with him. Me and Mike Fox.
Mm.
It was Palm Rock in San Jose, a shitty little pool. And that's the first time I saw Wolfman. And he was there with his little crew, like me, Sanchez or Rick Sedillo or something. And they were skating this pool. And we didn't even talk. Like, he was like this muscly fucking kind of gnarly dude. But I remembered him. But he could skate, you know?
Mm.
Somehow they had a beef. Like, because Blackheart had his attitude and Wolfman was like, I ain't going to take shit from someone. And so they just clashed, you know? And I think that was it. That, like, there was this animosity that built up. And then so he was just like, you're out. Blackheart wouldn't take shit from fucking Wolfman. And I don't think Wolfman liked that.
Who coined him Wolfman?
God, I don't know, man.
Was he Wolfman when you knew him?
Dan Peters. Dan
oh, Peters. Really?
His name, Dan Peterson, yeah. I didn't even know his name when I first saw him at the Piss Bowl. And then I got to know him at Winchester because he was managing Winchester with Dave Brady. And they ended up like leasing it from the owner. This guy Martinez was the original owner that had Winchester contracted and built. Mm. And those guys worked there and ran it. And then I don't know if they bought it from him or leased it, but Dan and Wolfman ended up owning Winchester till the end.
Yeah.
I'd be sitting on the washboard and I'd take my helmet off just to scratch my head and he'd fucking screaming from across the park, Bankster, put your fucking helmet back on. I'm like, fucking like 3 seconds. This is funny too, because I never really paid to skate Winchester. I'd always find a weasel route and I'd sneak in. I knew the fences were, oh, this is a blind spot. You can jump here. And I remember one day I was on the washboard and I saw Wolfman come out from the pro shop and it's pretty far away. And I locked eyes and I was like, oh, fuck. He knows I didn't pay. And so I fucking scurry down the snake run. I go over here to the Clover Bowl and I'm like looking over the lip and shit. And he's coming around the washboard where I was. I'm like, oh, fuck, he's after me. And then I fucking went down into the big 3/4 half pipe and I saw him up there and I'm fucking against the wall, you know, and I'm fucking, he's looking into the half pipe, but he can't see me.
It's
like, fuck, I'm going to get 80. It's like 86 for life was the thing, right? And I fucking, he walked away and I fucking went down the bottom of the big half pipe and came out the mogul bowl and I got out where he originally was standing when I was on the washboard. I had all my pads off and I was standing there and he was standing where I was standing on the washboard when he first saw me. And we locked eyes again and I could read his fucking lips. He's like, fuck. Like, and I pulled it off. Like, so shit like that would go down, you know, like I always snuck into all the parks. Like I didn't have money. Like,
yeah,
Milpitas, there was a killer blind spot. You could fucking jump every time. And that park was so huge. And all the really good runs were kind of far away from the pro shop that once you got in, you could just go hide, skate. That's the Blackheart story, dude.
I don't know. People would love to hear his stories.
And he's so animated. And like, he's like, he's going to tell you fucking what's up.
Yeah, I know.
And he gets in trouble, but it needs to be done, right?
Like, Yeah, I think, I mean, honestly, like without kissing ass, I think Blackheart's like the number one guy that I haven't had on that I would want to have on because, I mean, just like yourself, like he was our dude. And then all of a sudden people started paying attention and then more and more, you know, I don't know. But yeah, I mean, and then when I started working at Thrasher, he was there. So he was working under Fausto.
Yeah, dude. Fucking, how about those two? Fucking classic.
Oh, so good.
He was a level above everyone, like in those early days, the pre-skate park days, like NorCal. He was definitely the guy, like no one was touching him.
Right.
He was fucking really fucking good too, though. He kind of doesn't get as much love as he should.
Mm.
He was fucking sick the whole time. Like the Blackheart had that fucking outgoing fucking personality.
Personality. He would let you know.
You know, Kiwi is a little more, you know, laid back and shit.
Right.
Kiwi is fucking sick.
True or false, Novak told you something to the extent of how does it feel to have surfing ruin your skate career?
Holy shit, that's dead on quote right there. You didn't miss a word. But, dude, I love Novak. Like, he did say that, and I just, like, my response was like, dude, I wouldn't change a thing. Like, you know, like, I was really involved in surfing. Like I worked my way up all the lineups. I was getting the set waves. Like, you know what I mean? Like it, there's no bullshit about that back then. You had to earn it. Like there was no skipping in line.
Mm-hmm.
Like, older dudes that were fucking, you know, people were getting soft and dunked and grown men would be throwing rocks at you if you're fucking blowing it. Like it was kind of gnarly. Mm. And I'm happy that I got to grow up in that era where you had to earn it. Like, you know, I learned how to surf in like Capitola. That's a long way from fucking Pleasure Point as far as earning your way. And so, you know, that happened. I lived on the point for years and surfed all that stuff. And then that kind of went away because of the neighborhood just, you know, gentrified. It's all rich people now and it's Pleasure Point's so crowded. And, but it used to be fucking, you know, there was rules and unwritten rules that everyone went by. And every surf culture knows those rules, but the only way to learn them is to fucking break them and get yelled at or whatever. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
hold that shit deep. Like you're not going to let someone else do it to you, but now it's a mess. Like wherever you go, like all these spots, secret spots out of town and stuff, like they're just crowded and people pass around you. They don't know what's up and you can't really fight it. You know,
that's the one thing about skateboarding that gets talked about a lot, I think, that's different from a lot of other things is skateboarding is our baseball, football, soccer, whatever you want to call it. And we have the ability to actually meet and skate with our heroes. Like Jay Adams is your hero. And then all of a sudden he's living with you. Like that's crazy.
Yeah. And you know what else is crazy? It's like, what other sport can you still go fucking do that sport? I'm not saying skateboard is a sport. I don't want to get into that thing.
Yeah, but yeah.
Like what other like sport can you, you can't go fucking hit balls with Babe Ruth, but you could go skate with TA.
That's what I'm saying. That's
how young skateboarding is, you know?
Hey guys, I just wanted to let you know about what's going on with me since I started drinking Magic Mind. Can't tell you for sure if it's 100% the Magic Mind or not, but I will say this, I started drinking Magic Mind every day, And since then, I put out a Wes Kramer podcast, an old dog's New Year's skate video, and I'm averaging a 2-hour interview each week with a new guest through January, creeping into February, along with keeping up with my day job, taking care of my little doggy, giving my wife the love and attention she deserves. And not to mention, I have a saltwater reef tank that takes extreme focus and precision to keep glorious. Shout out High Tide in Oakland. Nevertheless, that's my adventure. And if you want to try some magic mind, these guys are offering the following to my listeners. The good people at Magic Mind have come up with a January offer to help you get your goals started properly. And here's how it works. For the entire month of January, you can get 1 month free of these Magic Mind elixirs when you subscribe for 3 months. Go to www.magicmind.com/Jan Schmidt. And with my code Schmidt20, you'll get an extra 20% off, which gets your grand total to a whopping 75% off. Again, this only lasts until the end of January, so hurry up before it goes away. That's magicmind.com, Jan Schmidt, with the code Schmidt20. Get yours today and be prepared to have your mind on some magic and some magic on your mind.
Your ping pong game may drastically be improved.
What the fuck's this?
All right, fuckers, listen up. I'm going to remind you that we are giving away a complete skateboard, Keith Meek OG reissue, Indy trucks, OJ wheels, the whole deal, for the first person who emails talkingschmidt@gmail.com with an exact count of how many F-bombs Keith Meek dropped on this episode. So from the beginning, not me, only Keith's F-bombs. How many did he drop? Send it to talkingschmidt@gmail.com. You're going to get a complete skateboard. You're also going to get some Meekster Brow gear, which is he's throwing in a hat, the Fall Wrist t-shirt, and an OG t-shirt. I'll throw in a couple of the Talking Schmidt air fresheners and maybe some Thrasher stickers. If you haven't started counting, rewind, start from the beginning, and count all the F-bombs. Email them to talkingschmidt@gmail.com. Wish you fucking luck, motherfucker.
What the fuck is that?
This is Mofo, and you're listening to Talking Schmidt.
Where was Jim Phillips at in his... I mean, this guy has obviously the iconic graphics for Santa Cruz through, you know, Jason, Jesse, Grosso, all the guys, Kendall, you, Roscop. But is this kind of the beginning of his career, or was he already doing other things? Was he known already for at this time, or did you guys kind of help build his thing?
He has a fucking a huge fucking portfolio. Like skateboarding was just part of his deal. Like he was really into the music. A bit too, flyers and stuff for big bands. Like there's a new Jim Phillips documentary.
Oh,
and they showed it at the 50th anniversary.
I gotta see it.
I don't know how to see it. Like I don't know. It's so good. It should be on Netflix or something. It's really good. It took 12 years to make.
Wow.
It really goes into his whole story, and it's incredible. Like Jim's a really, really good surfer.
Oh, really?
Anymore, but he's like one of the old school Santa Cruz guys that held shit down. Like I've seen him in the water. Like Jim's gnarly, man. And really good surfer. That's how I met Jimbo. I'd surf Shark's Cove and Jim would be out there and I knew Jim and Jimbo was like 10 years old, you know, and we'd all surf together and it was sick. Like, that's how that all came about. Like surfing. Then he did a lot of artwork for like the surf companies. Then the music industry.
Mm.
And then skateboarding is where, you know, that's how we got famous.
Was the Slasher one of his first graphics for Santa Cruz?
No, he did all the shit you see on Santa Cruz, all the shit, the original logo, everything.
Oh, like the red dot?
Like the red dot. That's all Jim Phillips. Like all
did
that.
Did he do all the SOS too or no?
He did everything.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he was doing all that stuff since the beginning of NHS.
Okay.
Jim Byberg did a little bit. I think Jim Byberg did the first Santa Cruz, like fiberglass design, just at Santa Cruz, and had like a shadowed effect. Mm. And then after the slanted one.
Mm-hmm.
Since that point, I think Jim did everything up until he opened the art studio, and then he started hiring dudes. And I actually worked at the art studio for Phillips, which was insane. There's just a bunch of group of like skaters and surfers, and like there's like at one point there's probably like 7 artists in there, all groms and just dudes. Like he would just like manage it, and then Byberg came in and helped manage it, and it was fuck, we were cranking out so much stuff in the '80s, all that stuff.
Yeah. His graphics are so legendary.
Yeah, yeah. And he's got a lot of different like styles too, you know, like he can do some really like detailed killer stuff, airbrush, and he's so talented. Oh, to watch him draw that stuff too, he can whip it out, dude.
Oh yeah.
Fast, like he's got that brain.
You said did you say Roskopf lived with your mom?
Yeah, he rented a room for my mom. We lived together.
You got a good Roskopf story?
Like 3 different places or something. What's that?
You have a good Roskopf story?
Fuck, so many, dude.
he's originally from Ohio, right?
We were pretty hard on him. Like him coming to Santa Cruz straight from Ohio.
That's what I heard.
Rob's a really good guy, you know. He's a hard worker, but we'd pick on him pretty good. But I remember, dude, I don't want to go into these. might bum him out. but let's leave it at that, bro.
Okay. Well,
when you turn off the record, I'll tell you some good stories. Oh.
I mean, was he like, did he have the silver spoon for the mountain bike thing? Like that seemed like it was like, I don't know. Was he at the right place at the right time, or like
right place at the right time? And like, he deserves it. Like he works hard. Okay. He's a hard worker, dude. Like without Rob, that thing wouldn't have gone.
Oh,
I mean like that's Rob's fucking soul in that company. Like that's like KT's Thrasher. Rob is fucking Santa Cruz Bikes. And I actually worked at Santa Cruz Bikes doing all the artwork and branding for like 10 years. Like Whoa. The first 10 years was all my stuff.
Oh, rad.
Yeah. So me and Rob working together was sick, dude. Like it was the bike industry, and we brought the skate vibe into the bike industry. Like no one was doing the shit we were doing in the beginning. And now it's just all everyone's doing same shit as everyone, you know?
Yeah, that's. I got a Santa Cruz bike though. I love that thing.
Dude, they're so good. Yeah,
that's super good. What about Hunter's Point Day of Hell? The contest up at the Dish.
Oh shit! I was there. Is that what they called it?
Yeah.
Got chased out.
Yeah.
Then it was gnarly.
Yeah,
was,
talk about that day.
That.
Me and Arco were just going through photos, and there's this fucking sick one. I'll send it to you. Like it's. All these dudes, you're in it, and like Ipe and Ray Meyer, and like all these people.
Oh, sick! Yeah. I want to check that out for sure. Yeah, that, I remember like hanging out in the parking lot, and I saw all the brothers coming out of their apartments. Like, it didn't look right, dude. like these guys are on a mission, kind of, and I think it was BK or Tommy or Tony or someone was like. We got to go. And I'm like, whoa, these dudes that are born and raised in the city are fucking telling us we got to go. We got to fucking go. Right. And they put up with us the whole day. And I think they just got sick of it, you know? And so they came out and like, they're fucking making us leave. I got out of there pretty quick. I didn't like see what went down, but everyone scattered. The whole contest kind of just fucking bailed out of there. Oh, shit was going to go down. You know?
Yeah, the mag's like maybe 8 or 10 blocks from there. That neighborhood has been, you know, did you ever go to the vert ramp down the street too?
Dude, that ramp was great. That was a good ramp.
Yeah, I think it was Shirugi's ramp originally or something.
Oh, yeah, I think you're right.
What someone told me. And then Pierre lived there for a minute. And
it was gnarly, though, if you lost your board. Fuck, I lost my board and I was gone for like 20 minutes. I missed the session. Like it went down into the park.
Yeah.
Like, Do you remember, did you ever skate it?
Yeah, for sure. And then they cut it down to a mini ramp.
It's like 12 feet down.
Yeah, like yeah, yeah.
Board. You had to climb down the fence and fucking go get your board.
We were just scared to go there, and we felt like once we were in there, we were good. But like right. just getting there was kind of gnarly.
It's so gnarly. We're always in a car, like so, and I was always with like city guys, you know, CBS crew, and so it's like, I always felt pretty safe because they always had their eyes open. They knew what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, bringing up Shroogie's name, another like how we were talking about Los Olvidados and Drunk Engines and how all that flowed. Another deal like that was ALA Revenge and Free Beer.
Mm.
All those bands intertwined.
Oh. Was that Tony Guerrero? Jerry's
Kids, right? Where Tommy sang.
Yeah.
And then there was Revenge. Well, there was ALA, which was Anti-Los Angeles.
What? I don't even know that one. Sick.
Shroogie sang for that band. And then it was Penzo and this guy Gordon. And then fucking Steve Tatum played drums. Okay. So then there was Revenge. And that was when Revenge started. Shroogie left LA and sang for Revenge. And it was Tony on drums, Tommy on bass, Dan McGee, and Jimmy on guitar. Okay. And then that was Revenge. And then when that all crumbled down, oh, and then our friend Moak started singing for ALA. He hung out. Do you know Butch from the East Bay? He passed away.
No.
The punk days. But they grew up together. Then Free Beer is like, Tommy's on bass still. Tony moves from drums to guitar. And then Steve Tatum from ALA is playing drums. And then this guy Mike Cassidy comes in. So all three of those bands kind of influenced and kind of intertwined.
That's rad. I never heard about ALA.
What's that?
I never heard ALA.
Oh yeah, they're classic, dude.
Shroogie was in that one or no?
Shroogie was the original singer of ALA.
Oh dude, I gotta talk to him about that.
And then our friend Moak started singing. And so like when we'd go to the city, we were just fucking hanging. We were like the ALA Revenge fucking crew, you know what I mean? Like always together fucking causing trouble and stuff. And we had a cool thing going, like if we weren't San Francisco, we were in Santa Cruz or we were in the East Bay. We had this fucking, because Moak and Butch and all those guys were from the East Bay and Tommy and Tony and Bryce and everyone was, you know, San Francisco and then Santa Cruz. And I even had like parties, like my 19th birthday, 1981, like ALA Revenge and Crucifix played in my friend's little studio. You know, like it was all like we were all hanging out tight. Like so when you'd go to a show, it's like, dude, you knew everyone and there's just all those bands, you know, like
so were there recordings of any of them?
Revenge has a recording from the Mav that Tony says he's trying to get remastered and stuff, but it's like 1980.
Wow.
Like it's 81 maybe. It was like, I remember the night I was there, it was like on a Wednesday night. And it might have been the night that 7 Seconds played their first time at the Mav too. But I'm not sure about that. Like, but it was like a Wednesday night and it was like barely anyone there. And the dude mixing it, recorded it.
Yeah.
So like a lot of shit talking. Like,
wow, that would be amazing to hear that. Like if he could get it remastered.
He's just going off on the mic and Tony and Tommy throwing shit in the fucking, just, you know, full sarcasm.
Like for me, it's pretty easy to say Bad Brains, but for you, what was a band that you saw for the first time that just like you just your mouth dropped, your you know, blew your mind kind of like, whoa, this is special?
Black Flag.
Black Flag.
Yeah, with Dez singing. I mean, those dudes, there was fucking not much like that, even in that scene. Dude, like you'd go to a show and they're all small venues, like the Mav and stuff. And, you know, Chuck would just be up there, boom, boom, building up this fucking energy. And like everyone's like not moving, but they know what's coming. You know what I mean? But everyone's just waiting. Like, it's up to Chuck. Like, and then they just, you know, just fucking bust into something and you just fucking gnarly.
And was Dez's stage presence, like, what was it like? Was he running around going crazy? Yeah.
All over the place. Like, that's my favorite Black Flag is when Dez was singing.
Mm.
Fuck, I saw him like 3 times in 1 week or something.
Wow.
Like they played at the warehouse in Santa Cruz. Then they spent the night at my friend's house. So we got to know them and Mugger and everything, and Mitzi, the manager. And then the next night they play at 10th Street Hall, and we go up there and they're all getting us in. So we're getting to know them. And then I went up to Grass Valley with all the Blast dudes, like, but this is before Blast. And we drove to Reno from Grass Valley to go see them in Reno, and they played in a garage with kegs. I got to sing for Nig Heist because Mugger's all, "You're singing," because getting to know him. And crazy shit went down that night. Like, I graffitied the inside of this guy's house, and I was sitting in the kitchen with Black Flag, and the guy saw me. I was writing Black Flag on the kitchen wall, and was trying to tell me how to spell it in Spanish and shit. Fucking the owner comes in, he's all, "You're the motherfucker. I just painted my whole house." And I'm like, "Oh, dude, this guy's gonna kill me." And Chuck and Mugger and all those guys are all, "You ain't touching him." They're like sticking up for me and shit, and crazy shit. One-on-one fucking guitar lessons with Greg Ginn with his fucking Armstrong and like in the
garage. Greg Ginn's like, whoo, legend. Yeah.
Like, I don't know if those dudes even would remember me, but there was like this little fucking heated moment. Like, we are going fucking all the shows, and, you know, like, it was fun. Santa Cruz was having good shows back then.
Dude, I got a crazy one. I was at last year, I was at a Giants game with my wife, and this dude behind me taps on my shoulder and he's like, "Hey, where'd you get that Thrasher hat?" And I was like, "I worked there." And he's like, "Oh, then you must know my good friend." And I was like, "Who's your good friend?" He's like, "Kevin Thatcher." And I was like, "Yeah, like, that guy was one of my biggest inspirations." Like, and he ended up being in that band that was on the first Skate Rock. "The kids don't skate here no more. The kids don't." I can't remember the name of the band, but fuck.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was insane. I was like, I'm at a Giants game, like 40,000 people, and this guy just happens to be sitting behind me.
That's how it always works, right? Yeah.
Dude, for real. What did you guys think when they put the sidewalks in at Derby?
Oh, man, like, I didn't like it because you used to be able to grind the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they put the sidewalks in, and, you know, it did good, and then it did bad. Like, you know, people don't like change, you know, but it used to be pretty sick when you'd go to Derby and the fucking train would be going, you know, like, and there's nowhere else to go.
And you could tell who the locals were.
Guys going down the snake run, and they're coming around the bowl, and the first dude has to come over that hip to come up the top before the last guy gets to the bottom because there's nowhere to go, right? That I miss that. But the last revision they did was pretty good. Like,
yeah, you know,
put the sidewalks in, and then they did a newer revision.
I heard that there's a petition to like add a whole like new park in that park.
Kind of involved with that.
Oh,
like, we're gonna like.
You Is know, it gonna like, happen?
Yeah, I just got an email from Jason Strubing yesterday. It looks like there's some meetings set up. Like it's there's progress.
Rad. Yeah, I talked to who told me, Jason.
Yeah, and so it's gonna be like, you know where the sand pit was of the volleyball. That whole thing is gonna be skatable. Like we're trying to put a pool in the middle and then skate stuff around it.
Uh huh.
So that will connect with the original Derby, so the flow will increase. And then you'll have this like centered pool coping, but there's limits. Like the pool can only be 7 feet deep because of drainage and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But there's plans in the work. And
That's awesome. Yeah, dude. I mean, Derby is probably isn't it one of the oldest parks around at this stage?
I don't know actually what year it was built because you get different people saying different things. And my friend,
I always heard like 76 to 79 in that window.
Yeah. And my friend Lance Ripley, who's a really insane pool skater, went to Natural Bridges. And so he was telling me, they were building that when I was in elementary school.
Oh.
I want to call him and get the dead set year that was built because then they can go there at recess and skate and stuff. But I didn't skate it till like 1980. That's, I didn't even know it existed, you know. But then when we found it, we were all over it. Like, we shot some cool photos for the jammer there.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I was thinking, the jammer versus the slasher. Like, the jammer was such a huge thing. That was when I first started skating. It was the street jammer. Like, that was the board.
Was it the original one with the rocker?
I think, I don't know. Did they have different graphics? Because this one was just a jammer with black crosses. Like,
oh, yeah, it was like a cyclone fence.
Yeah.
Before that, they just said jammer. And then they did the cyclone fence. Then they started putting them on, like, flat decks with a kicktail, but originally they were rocker, like five ply, like that were originally the blanks for fucking Hout Lamaflex boards.
No way.
Yeah, I remember I was with Tim Piamarta running errands, and we pull up and to this, I think we're in Scotts Valley at this storage locker, and Bob Skinner's there, and Bob Skinner used to run the Hout team and stuff, and he opens up the thing and it's just stacked with all these uncut blanks, like square rocker blanks. And that those were the original jammers.
Wow.
Dude, I put all those together.
Really?
Fucking dude. I put the fucking wheels and the bearings and the wheels and assemble all by myself. Those first jammers. That was my job at NHS assembly.
Was the, you know, the dad, the guy that owned Ghost Skate?
Dale.
Dale Smith. That was the skate shop where I got my board, was Ghost Skate in San Mateo. And and then I ended up working there. But there was a place up the street called the Spillway. I don't know if you ever skated that.
Oh, I've heard of it. I didn't skate it.
Okay, yeah. But I did hear that you, did you win a contest or win some money or something and then just went to straight to throw a keg rager or something like that? Capitola?
Yeah, in the Capitola Classic, I did good both those years. I got like seventh place. And like Tommy won one year, he got $1,000, seventh place, paid like 50. So I just fucking threw down, had a keg. But we bought kegs all the time. Like, I had my own keg and my own tap. So, like, if someone's going to have a party, they call you. We need your tap and keg. So then you're in. Like, yeah. You know, you, like, what, deposit, whatnot.
What was that Capitola contest like? Was it, did skateboarding take over the whole city?
It was insane. Well, they did.
It must have been.
Dude, I'll send you some photos. Like, I have some photos my mom took in. The whole, both sides of the road are just fucking like four people deep or two people deep, people on the house roofs and shit, and just crazy. And so they did it during the Begonia Festival, which they do every year. Capitola does a Begonia Festival. So there's already tons of tourists there. And so someone said something like they estimated during the day there's probably about 10,000 people.
Wow.
That's not just the skate contest, but
yeah.
I think that's why it got shut down, because after the second year, the cops were like, no more, man. Like, they couldn't control it if something went down. But those contests were fun, dude, because it was on a downhill slope.
And
it was,
I know.
Style, so you didn't even have to push.
Yeah.
Like, hitting shit with a jump ramp at the bottom, you know?
Was that the first time you saw Gons in person?
No, first time I saw Gons was this contest in San Diego, Escondido or something. And I was down there and I turned pro at that contest just so I could make photo incentive.
Because
back then, like, there's all these rules. Like, you had to be a pro or you couldn't collect money from photos, or sponsors didn't have to pay you money. And I was getting a bunch of coverage, but I wasn't pro. And I had stickers on my board and stuff, so those people would have been paying me if I was pro. So I entered this contest just so I could get photo incentive. The contest was ridiculous. It was the worst contest I've ever seen in my life. But that's where I saw Gons, and he was coming out. Like, I think that might have been where he got that cover shot doing the boneless, all boned out off the picnic table.
Mm-hmm.
That was the contest. But there wasn't nothing to skate. It was like a curb, a picnic table. It was, dude, I was so hungover too. Everyone's all, yeah, you smell like alcohol.
Yeah.
Debut. But yeah, Gons, you know, we were at a trade show and I think the first time I ever saw someone do a rail, it was Gons at this trade show, and he's just skating around. He's like hitting these like six stair rails, and it's just like, I've never seen anything like it, you know. And we were in the middle of skating, like we saw everything.
Mm.
I was like, oh, what the fuck is that? And then more and more dudes were coming out, like, and we dragged them over to this like 15 stair, huge fucking staircase, and I'll do this one. And I think fucking Grant was there, or fucking Ivan Asoy, but there was like 15 dudes, pros, up and down the fucking staircase, egging them on, come on! And he'd skate up, and he'd stop, and he'd just be like, dude, you guys are gonna kill me. And it took him like 15 minutes, and he fucking, first try, dude, he fucking nailed it and just fucking stuck it, and was just, everyone just lit up. Like, it was the most amazing thing I'd seen in years. Like, just groundbreaking. I'm like, I was like, fuck, I'm so done. Like, I gotta go get a job or something.
Shit. Well, it's a special time. That guy's just, he's forever, like, that moment of him bringing whatever he brought to skateboarding was just like, hey, you're just never gonna happen again like that.
Right. I mean, I remember like skating mini ramps with him and stuff, and he wasn't even that good on the mini ramp. But then all of a sudden he's doing eggplants on vert. You know, like, what the fuck?
Yeah, and making him look like a frontside invert. Like, he's kind of
so good.
So dude. Sick.
So, like doing street plants on vert or something.
Yeah.
Another good thing I witnessed was the Caballero thing when he came up.
Oh, yeah.
Because
Winchester's kind of his spot, right?
Yeah. Because I remember this one summer, me and Jim Martino, we just burned one or something. We're sitting on the bricks and kicking back. And this little kid goes down the fucking Clover Bowl, like, you know, pushing off his knee style. And then we're all, fuck, look at this little dude. Like, he's just fucking looked all gnarly, you know? And he rolls out, and he rolled back in. And we're all, whoa, that guy just did a fucking roll out and a roll in. Like, it was rounded and not vert, but it was like, it surprised us. We're all, no way. And I'm all, you see that? And Jim's all, yeah, dude. And we're all stoked, yelling shit. And then Jim's like, he's all, yeah, dude, he looks like my friend Art that snorts glue. And so we're laughing. We're all, what? And so we start yelling, we're all fucking, what's up, Little Glue Man? Fucking. So that was like, that's Cab's first nickname, was Little Glue Man.
I tried pot.
It didn't stick, but I still call him that sometimes, and we laugh about it, you know. He wasn't really that good, but he was like this rad kid. And you couldn't help but love him. Like, he was fucking smiling, just stoked, was just emanating, right? From like the first time I saw him, within a year and a half, he was like one of the best skateboarders in the world.
Fuck.
In a year and a half, dude. Like,
yeah.
Watch that progress that fast was pretty amazing. He could do all these tricks, but not in the keyhole. It was kind of like, dude, you don't even do that trick if you can't do it in the keyhole. I'm not going to say you know how to do that. You have to do it. And once he started riding the keyhole, it was just over.
He was one of those ones.
Yeah. I mean, he's got more covers than anybody for Thrasher.
How many covers?
I think he has 9. Dude, the stuff that they did back in the day was insane. Like, there's so many covers we look at. They were like, they were just like a deadline and had nothing and just pulled one out of there.
So epic, though. Like, dude, Thrasher was so raw. It was such a breath of fresh air, dude, after like skateboarder and stuff.
I just love, like, Mofo's stories are so good. Like, he just talks about how, I mean, he's humble to also, because I know that it's not true, but he would just be like, I didn't know anything. I didn't know what I was doing. And they told me to read this book and they told me to use this camera. And I just went out and did it. And I'm like, but you had a little skill. Like, there's some sick shit.
Right. It's like, yeah, in the DNA or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Because like the Jeff Phillips boneless cover, there's a clown ramp all blurred. That's one of my favorite photos ever.
Yeah. Yeah. Mofo took some insane photos. He was always around too. He's part of that whole crew that like fucking Robert Schlafly and the Buck Brothers, Blackheart, KT, Tim Lockfeld, Fly. Like, those are the dudes that, like, I love skating with all those guys, because it was just, you know, they're older and fucking just fun. It was like, yeah, I want to be like these guys.
Okay, I just got a couple more. I'm winding down here, but Raging Waters comes out. Did you like the ramp or the water slides?
I liked the pool.
The pool.
Yeah, we rode the pool twice. 2 years in a row, they drained the deep pool where the slides would go straight down and fly off.
Yeah.
Deep pool, we got to skate it 2 years in a row. The pool was gnarly. Like, it was big, and it was deep, and it had, like, this crazy, like, 8-inch meatloaf coping that you couldn't get on it. It was stuck out so far, you know? But there was a big love seat you could grind, and then there's, like, you could go over these lights and stuff, and you could go up on the rocks in the corner. Mm-hmm. But you had to push from the flat bottom, build up your speed. But it was fun, you know? Yeah, it's like kind of novelty.
I always ask this question, and I know it's not easy answer, so it's kind of more like what the first thing that comes to your mind is, more so than the best. But like, what was something you were there for that you saw someone do on a skateboard that was very impressive or unique? Or
probably that first time I saw Blackheart at Bombora.
Because
that was just like, you know, I never saw that. Like, you know, like just pictures in magazines, you know?
He was kind of a myth up till then.
Yeah, he was a ghost, dude. You'd show up at the pool. You just missed Blackheart. Oh, yeah. Go to the spot. Did you see Blackheart? No. And just finally I got to see him. It was like surreal. There he is. Is that really you know, like, bigger than life, you know? But that and the Gonzo fucking 15-20 stair, whatever it was, that was like, that blew my mind.
Right. Okay, cool. What's the best band you've ever seen for free at the Boardwalk?
Shit. I don't ever go down there.
The correct answer is Eddie Money.
Oh, shit. No, dude, we used to make fun of that shit. Like, oh, fuck.
Actually, Dinosaur Jr. just played there for the Santa Cruz party.
Yeah, I had to go to a wedding down in like Paso Robles, so I missed that whole weekend.
Mm.
But I would have checked that out. Oh, wait, fucking. We used to play there every year, fucking Blue Oyster Cult.
When you bring it, you got to sing it.
Yeah, I avoid the Boardwalk, so I don't really go down there.
Salva says he has to do push-ups to keep his core. Like, is there anything that you do, supplement, stretches, anything that, like, as you get older, you need to put in your routine to help you be able to skate longer?
You know, honestly, I just get hurt and heal.
Yeah.
I've never been a stretcher, but I've always been like, I got to start stretching. I got to exercise more. But I'm one of those guys that I just go and I get hurt.
You down for CBD or Arnica or any of these?
Yeah, CBD.
It helps?
Yeah. But just like what I've learned most of all is just patience.
Mm.
Like when I get hurt, I don't skate with multiple injuries. If I get hurt, I don't skate until I'm healed. You know, and I'll be 62 in April.
Damn.
And I still feel really good, you know? So, like, I have problems. I've had fucking lifetime of injuries. Like, even before I started skating, I'm just one of those dudes that just gets beatings. Like, I've taken out 2 windshields with my face, you know? It's like one going 65 miles an hour, no seatbelt. Like, just, I've been like, dude. It was like when I was in third grade, I used to, like, for fun, we'd go find construction sites, jump out the second story windows and shit like that. Like,
yeah.
The sand piles that are, that one's pretty far, fuck, you know, like, so always, like, it's always been hurt. So I don't really know, like, I'm not a good person to answer that question.
Mm. I got really bad arthritis, and it's been this winter's been the worst. Like, I'm in pain a lot, and I'm just like, ugh. I was talking to the doctor, and I was like, anything? She's like, no.
Like, where's your arthritis?
Like, all through my shoulders and neck and into my back.
Dude, have you tried CBD and stuff?
I have Not, I don't know how long I have to try it, but I've tried it for like a week and it didn't seem like it was doing anything.
There's got to be like a lot of that stuff too. Maybe
I heard acupuncture, maybe
a change of diet, maybe like hydrate. I mean, I get arthritis in my knuckles sometimes and like I get gout.
Oh,
dude, gout's gnarly.
Yeah.
Like, and I've been battling that for 20 years or something.
Can you still do an invert?
Dude, I haven't tried an invert. And last time I did an invert was probably fucking 1989 or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like I in my mind, I'm all, I want to do invert. I want to fucking do an invert. But I went through the wind down, you know, like you're slowly losing your tricks. And now I'm just kind of surfing stuff.
Okay.
I don't really like to ride half pipes anymore.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause
I don't really have a bag of tricks anymore. So I like to like carve and grind, do laybacks and that kind of style, like surf stuff. So bowls and like that kind of stuff. I'm really down.
Okay.
My friend just built a bowl too, so I'm stoked.
Oh, really?
Gotta go down there and get some. Have a whole scene. There's a whole new punk scene in Santa Cruz that's fucking on fire.
Really?
Reminds me of when we were doing it. I haven't seen anything since 1980. 40 years I haven't seen it. So, like, I went to the show at the Catalyst, and there's three bands playing. And all three bands, I knew one of the parents.
No.
I'm like, dude, what the fuck? And, dude, it was insane. It was fucking rad. And all their friends are there. So they have this whole they're all teens, dude. Like they're all teenagers and shit. They're just fucking going nuts.
Wow. Like,
yeah. Three fucking rad bands. Curb Creeps, Intrusive, and Slam. So like listen for those bands. Like I was just blown away.
Rad.
Like, I've been going to shows since the '70s and I was just like, whoa. Like I felt out of place, dude. I was like, I had my camera, I was shooting photos. I'm like, fuck, I'm going to get hurt, man. You guys are going nuts. So that's cool. And those guys are part of that. There's a whole this skate, surf, punk rock thing coming again.
Well, check this out. I got a little Curb Creeps right here with their song, Get Out of My Way. If you could go skate anywhere today, where would you go?
Anywhere?
Yeah.
Fuck, that's a fucking rad question. Like I can go back in time and stuff?
Sure.
Yeah, why not? That's my question, right? I'd like to go skate that Gilroy backyard pool again. Still to this day, it's one of the best things I've ever skated.
Oh, that's sick. Okay. Well, dude, thank you so much for taking the time. It's rad to hear your stories and stuff. Hype that we got to do this.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much more, too. Like, maybe we could talk again.
Absolutely. Anytime.
And thanks, dude. I'm honored to be on your show. And, like, I love your show. Like,
oh, thank you. Appreciate that.
You got this cool vibe, dude. You ask good questions. It's rad. You know what's going on. You know, like, I've listened to podcasts and people are like, oh, what's the Capitola Classic?
Yeah.
Dude, that's like one of the biggest fucking contests that ever went down in skateboard history. But anyway.
Well, working at the mag, I got to try to pay attention, you know?
Oh, yeah. I always forget about the mag. Yeah. And you're still there.
Yeah. Did you have any encounters with Jake?
Not in a long, like, I didn't see him very often, but yeah, I skated that Fremont pool with him.
Huh.
Lit session, dude. Fuck, dude. Cardiel. Wade Spire, Curtis.
Oh, the Jake. One that Christian had the nose grind over the hip?
I don't know.
It was like
that weird square kidney Fremont in.
Yeah. That pool was good.
Yeah, yeah. So we had a fucking sick skate there.
Rad.
I think Bryce was there. Bryce got some good photos.
Okay. Fuck yeah.
It's like, I think that was the last photo I ever got in a mag.
Oh.
It's like this big in the back, you know? There it is.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, fucking thanks, Schmitty.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Talking Schmidt. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Anchor, Spotify, or anywhere you get your podcasts. When you subscribe, you'll get notifications every Tuesday of new episodes the minute they become available. Also, please leave reviews and a 5-star rating. It's the best way to help the show grow. All of the episodes will always remain free, but if you would like to help support the show, you can do so at talkingschmidt.com. where you can pick up some merchandise like t-shirts, beanies, hats, and stickers. The website has an entire archive of all of the episodes, with extra photos and videos. Email us with any suggestions, comments, or ways that the show may have improved your life at talkingschmidt@gmail.com. All interviews are conducted, edited, and produced by Schmitty. The intro music is Mary's Cross by the band Nature. A very special shout out goes to the executive director, Cheryl Camisa.
Shout out.
Love it!
This is Talking Schmidt, where the Rolodex is deep, but the conversation is deeper.
Keep the wheels greased.